WAIF Cincinnati.
Keep me running, running.
AIF FM as a community radio station serves only to open its airwaves to responsible divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect our own views or the views of our ghoulish guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati. The following program contains material that may be considered frightening or offensive or unsuitable to some listeners. If you are sensitive to such programming, please tune away at this time and return at midnight for some jazz.
Another Halloween in the Cincinnati. How did you celebrate Halloween today, Rob?
Dude, I'm sick of all you amateurs horning in on my action.
What do you mean?
Dude, some of us out there every night are fighting the party wars.
The party wars?
We're out there
partying. Well, hold on. What's a party war? A party war?
We're out there.
That's over who gets the last cup of beer out of the keg? Is that what you mean? The party wars?
We're out there competing hard. Fighting with ourselves, fighting with our inner demons, trying to slay the inner dragons that consist of hardcore partying. We don't need all you people come prancing and flancing and fluting around in your fancy dress ball outfit. Oh, look at me. I'm Pee Wee Herman.
Hold on, hold on. What
we
about all those naughty
burgers?
Hold on. Hold on, Robbie. What about all those naughty schoolgirl costumes that I saw a ton of tonight?
We don't need those kind of teases out flirting and flouncing around. What we need are hardcore, love-starved, hardened barflies. We don't need a bunch of day trippers. We don't need a bunch of posers coming out and getting drunk and dressing up like Elvira. You're just getting in my way.
Are you saying that Halloween is kind of like the amateur night for ghouls and goblins?
Is becoming the day before Thanksgiving. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's another day for amateurs to get in the way of the professionals. And as a professional, I don't need that kind of headache.
Well, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And we're here to take your frightening phone calls at 513-749-1444.
Yes. If you have a spooky Halloween story. No, it didn't have to happen on Halloween.
Yeah. Now, we got a good one coming up here. We got our first ghost story of the night waiting on line one. And you're going to like this. Because it's local, it's right here in town, and it's at a historic Cincinnati landmark. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I'm sure everybody does.
I'm talking about Music Hall downtown. Staff members at Music Hall have heard unscheduled musical interludes late at night when they're cleaning up or picking the gum off the bottom of chairs. One night watchman once reported hearing what sounded like a music box playing while he was riding the elevator. Some of the ushers have heard ghostly female vocalists singing in the lobby, and many people have reported the sounds of a phantom party going on behind locked doors. You know a little bit about Music Hall? It was built on a former potter's field. You know what a potter is? He's a guy who makes pots back in the 1800s. Maybe even older than that. It was the final resting place for residents of Cincinnati's Commercial Hospital and Lunatic Asylum back in the 1800s. And they tore that building down and they built Music Hall right where it is now. And it was found bones when they were doing construction in 1876. And some people say that this has caused restless spirits to roam the hallways, the stages, the backstages, and the catacombs of Cincinnati's historic Music Hall. So our next guest is a ticket taker at Music Hall.
Give me a piece of paper over there. Here we go.
Rick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're a ticket taker at Music Hall.
I work in the box office.
Really? Now, how big is the box office?
Very small.
Yeah.
About the size of a small living room.
And how long have you been working at the box office at Music Hall?
About 7 years.
Really? That's a pretty long time. You've been there since Paavo Järvi, and then before that, you got Jesus Lopez Cobos.
That's right.
The music of the Cincinnati Symphony is a fine historical institution, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Do you catch a lot of concerts?
Every now and then.
I guess it's
not working.
The ticket guy, you can take whatever tickets are left over and just go in and see the show, right?
Wrong. That's wrong. Like good in theory.
But they don't let you do that?
No, not really.
You want me to talk to Paavo for you?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I'll do that. I'll say, Paavo, let Rick Young in, see you, at least let him in at intermission when you got a few seats in the back that are vacated by the old people who go home early. Right?
There you go.
Now, Rick, we're talking about Halloween. We're talking about how Music Hall is haunted. Have you ever seen or heard a ghost or something go bump in the night? Or like this article says, people hear parties in the middle of the night, musical parties, people are singing in the lobby. Do you hear and see stuff like this?
I have experienced that, yes.
Tell us about it.
I was working at Music Hall on President's Day of 2003. I worked for the Cincinnati Arts Association. I was the only person scheduled to work that day. There was no janitorial staff. There was no symphony people, no opera.
You were in that music hall all by yourself?
That's correct.
I'd rather be in Count Dracula's castle.
I didn't think it was going to be so bad. Turned out it wasn't so hot that day. Probably because it had snowed the night before, and the janitorial staff did not get out to clean off the walks. It didn't look like we were open. So it didn't look like we were going to have any customers. I even called my boss, Tammy Gentile, and asked her if I had to stay all day. And she called her boss, John Herrig, and he said, yeah, he has to be there all day. So I'm in the box office by myself, and if a customer comes up, how they get our attention is they ring these buzzers. It's like a doorbell.
Right, I've bought tickets at the box office at Music Hall before. It's, if I recall, you walk up the steps and it's to the far right.
Right.
And then there's kind of like a little cubby back there. You're like, it's to the side of the front entrance door. You can even kind of sneak back there and smoke a cigarette if you want.
Yeah, if you wanted to, yeah.
Yeah.
So the buzzer goes off, and I think, oh, I've got a customer. And I go up to the window and I look out, and there's nobody there. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I heard things. So I go back to my desk, buzzer goes off again. I'm thinking, okay, maybe somebody's going messing around. Sometimes what you get is the kids from Washington Park will come over and they'll kind of duck down, and what they'll do is they'll take their hand, which you can't see, and they'll ring the buzzer. And I thought maybe this is what was going on. So I go around to the outside where I can see out, and I don't see anybody there. So I think, okay, I'll check the other window because there's a buzzer back there.
It just seems odd so far, though. It's not spooky yet,
no,
right?
No.
So far, it's just odd.
Yeah, just a little strange. So this happened several times. Nobody there. When I had walked in the morning, I had noticed that there was a series of music stands sitting out in the lobby. The lobby's the area right outside the box office. I hear 7 crashes, like the music stand's been pushed down, like toppled over.
Okay.
So I open the door and I look out. The music stands are still standing up, upright. So I think, that's pretty weird. Go back in the box office. About a half an hour later, I hear what sounds like the chandelier in the lobby crashing to the floor. And you hear like the tinkling of glass just going all over the place. So I get up and I look out the door. Nothing. Chandelier's still up. No problem. I'm thinking, now this is weird. Now when you're working in the box office, you can hear the glass doors that lead to the stairs that go up to the gallery level and the balcony level.
Okay.
You can hear those opening and closing if there's people in there that are, you know, maybe the janitorial staff or the ushers or whatever. And I could hear the doors opening and closing, but I knew I was the only person in there. So I called my boss again, and I said, do I really have to be here all day? This place is starting to creep me out. She said, yeah, you have to be here all day. Well, as you go through an 8-hour day, eventually you're going to have to go to the bathroom. I've been holding it. I don't really want to do that because where the bathroom is, it's down these dark stairs in front of what's called the Critics Club, which is where they have parties. It's So I decide I can't wait any longer. I got to go to the bathroom. So I go down the stairs, and I hear what sounds like a party going on in the Critics Club. I hear glasses tinkling and muffled laughter. And
really?
Sounds like a string quartet playing, except that it's dark in the Critics Club. And then when I shake the handle of the door, everything stops. There's no more sound. So I went to the bathroom, and I got out of there. And
at this point, is your heart thumping a little bit? Are you a little creeped out?
I'm very creeped out. I'm like, I guess it's because I'm the only one in here, and they're just the spirits or whatever's in there is just having a field day with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my boss later on, I said, don't ever schedule me to work here by myself. But I'm not really interested in experiencing that again.
Right. Anything else happened that day or after you went
not
to the bathroom?
Not that day, but I had another experience. Same thing with the buzzers. Buzzers are going off, nobody there. So I go out to investigate, and I actually see the buzzer going in like somebody's pushing it.
Really?
But there's nobody there.
Now, can the temperature from outside, when it's really, really, really cold, can the temperature make the... I'm crazy, aren't I?
Well, I thought maybe there might be a short, but a short wouldn't explain why it was actually moving in by itself.
Wow.
Well, it gets weirder. I go back into the box office, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking out, and I'm hearing the buzzer going off. And I'm looking out the window, and there's nobody there. And then I just get the sense of, like, there's this little kid standing next to me. Just this weird feeling of, like, a kid with one of those flat hats and, like, knickers and one of those puffy shirts.
Like Oliver Twist.
Yeah, like okay. That. And then I see my sleeve start jerking like somebody's grabbing it.
Oh, now that's creepy.
Yeah. That was just too much.
What'd you do?
That was the end of my day.
You just went home and got drunk, right?
Well, I didn't get drunk, but...
You just got the heck out of there.
Yeah. I don't want to stick around.
You still work there to this day?
I do. Not as much anymore. I work mostly over at the Aronoff Center, but...
And the Aronoff Center's too new to be haunted, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never had any experiences there. I don't know what was at the Aronoff before they built it.
What did they tear down? It was just a bunch of buildings and stuff that they tore down. No, I don't think it was any. What was on that block of the Aronoff? Anybody know? Okay. Well, when's your next shift at the music hall?
Once the Nutcracker starts up, I'll be there. And I think I'm scheduled to work there for Prairie Home Companion.
Okay.
That's going to be on the 25th.
All right, so it'll be a little while. So at least you didn't have to work there during October.
Well, I was there Sunday. We had the Bad Boys of Comedy was there.
The Bad Boys of Comedy probably didn't bring any ghosts out of the woodwork.
No,
did they?
I wouldn't think so.
A good Berlioz Symphony might, but I can't imagine, you know, Andrew Dice Clay bringing a ghost out of the woodwork.
That's true.
Who were the Bad Boys of Comedy?
Somebody called Dougie Doug or Dougie Fresh or somebody like that.
Well, Dougie Fresh is a famous rapper.
And Earthquake. Somebody named him Earthquake.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Have any of your coworkers or any of the people you work with or anybody in the administration experienced any of the same sort of creepy ghosts in music hall that you claim to have experienced?
There was a guy that used to work there. It was one of the bosses. He had to go in to collect the money out of the safe one day, and he went in early, and he heard an opera singer. It was like 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. That's kind of weird for somebody to be practicing opera that early. So he opened the door to Springer Auditorium, and there was nobody in there. But he heard the voice. Now, there's supposed to be a ghost that sings opera really early in the morning. So he heard that, but he didn't see anybody.
Really? Why early in the morning?
I don't know. Maybe it's better acoustics or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe ghosts don't need their coffee.
That could be.
Was there a story of a famous opera singer who died there once, maybe back in the olden days or anything? You know, any stories like that going around? Famous soprano died in the middle of the night, poisoned by her lover or something like that?
I don't know anything about that, but I know some of the janitorial staff told me that they'd hear the elevator working by itself. It just would go up, and the doors would open, and there'd be nobody in it.
Wow. One last question for you, and this is more of a marketing question than a ghost question.
All right.
About a week or two ago, I think it was on Friday the 13th of October, because we had a Friday the 13th this month. Didn't the opera give like a haunted tour of Music Hall, kind of like a haunted house kind of thing, but they did it like opera style at Music Hall?
They may have. I don't know. I don't really work with the opera. I don't know what they do.
Okay, I think I heard they had some kind of fundraising event like that, which sounds just creepy enough to be fun.
Huh. Sounds like a good idea. They could. I've heard that there's ghost tours. I don't know if Music Hall's included in that, but I've heard of things like that. Waynesville's supposed to be very haunted.
Really?
The antique place? Waynesville, the antiques capital of America?
Yeah, they have the...
Home of the Sauerkraut Festival?
Right, yeah, and the parachute thing.
The home of the parachute pants?
Yeah.
They have parachute pants in Waynesville?
They don't have
haunted.
Parachute pants.
My pants are haunted. There's all kinds of things living in there. So you're right next to a TV station, though, aren't you?
WCET.
And are not TV people adept at creating illusions?
Yeah, I guess they could.
Is it not possible, then, that some of these fancy pants TV people are saying, let's go screw with the Hillbilly Opera guys?
I don't know. I guess it's possible.
Yeah, I guess he's saying that maybe you're being pranked or something. You think that there's pranks to go on at Music Hall like that, or do you think some of these stories are straight up?
I think there's something going on there. Yeah. When they put the elevator in, which was a few years ago, they dug up some bodies.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
Of who?
Well, it used to be a cemetery there.
Right, that I just said before we started, it was the Cincinnati Commercial Hospital and Lunatic Asylum. So there were not only were they dead people, they were dead crazy people.
Hmm.
And lunatics from back in the 1700s and early 1800s were lunatics, because I've seen a lot of movies.
Okay.
So you know that they must have really been Looney Tunes back then. With the black fever and the syphilis and the typhoid and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get a syphilitic ghost on your trail, you're in a world of
crazy.
Hurt.
Has anyone ever brought, like, a professional ghost hunter, like these people you see on cable TV, into Music Hall to do analyses and research and stay up all night with cameras and stuff?
I don't know if they've done that there. It'd be an interesting study. I'd like to see something like that.
Can you make the ghost appear? Is there something that'll trigger one? Is there one particular performance that always brings out the ghost? Is there any perfume or something?
I've heard of people saying that they've smelled things, cigars. When there's nobody there, I don't know though.
Ghost of Ted Gregory.
Oh, there could you be. Go, Montgomery Inn.
Hey, Rick, in the next hour of tonight's program, we're going to talk to a professional ghost hunter from Chicago. His name is Dale Kazmarek. He's with the Ghost Research Society. When we have him on, we'll ask him about Music Hall.
All righty.
If you're still tuned in, you'd be welcome to call in and say hello to Dale Kazmarek and ask him a few questions pertinent to Music Hall if that's of interest to you.
Sure.
All right. Hey, thanks for taking our call tonight and relating your experiences to our audience on the Chris and Rob Show.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you. Bye.
So there you have it, Music Hall, downtown Cincinnati. It's a historic building built on a former lunatic asylum cemetery. Now they think they have ghosts. There are eyewitness reports. Next time you go to the symphony, watch your back.
Weren't a lot of these lunatics, though, not really lunatics?
Well, back then, if you were just like kind of silly, like if you were autistic or something, or if you were just silly like Jerry Lewis, they thought you were a lunatic and they'd put you in the asylum.
Right.
If you just, you know, if you were gay, they would put you in the asylum. If you didn't believe in God, they would put you in the asylum. So when I said all those people had typhoid and the Black Plague and syphilis, there were also a lot of just normal people in there who were more or less normal by today's standards. But by the standards back then, they either were, you know, dysfunctional in some way or gay or didn't believe in God.
So about the atheistic gay ghost running around is what you're saying.
Could be, yeah. This is a Chris and Rob late night talk show. It's 25 minutes after 10. You're welcome to call here at the Chris and Rob Show. We have open phone lines if you'd like to call in and talk about your favorite ghost story, if you've had an experience, or if you just had some obnoxious trick-or-treaters come by the house tonight, we want to hear about it. The phone number here at the Chris and Rob Show is 513-749-1444.
It never struck me as being particularly scary this time of year.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess, you know, leaves die, plants die, it's time for the harvest. you equate harvest with death. Therefore, this time is of the year is very gloomy and doomy, and it's all about death.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everything is dying. Crops are, you know, the crops are done. Bring them in. Bring in the harvest. Have the horn of plenty and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too pretty during the daytime. This is like the prettiest time of year.
Because it's fall and the leaves are changing colors.
Exactly.
And
just because it gets dark, it doesn't...
Everybody's got their back-to-school fashions.
Yeah. But the good thing is that it gets dark so early now, you can actually go trick-or-treating early. If you had trick-or-treats in August, then the kids couldn't go out till 9 o'clock, and then that wouldn't be good.
Rob, have you ever heard about the Feister Grand Hotel of the West?
Oh, heck yeah.
You have?
The Feister Grand, it's in Nevada, and that's where the Feisters invented the water fountain.
It's in Milwaukee.
Exactly. That's where the Feisters, they invented the water fountain, and they got together with the Grands, who, of course, invented really large hamburgers.
Okay, you're wrong. Guido Feister opened his hotel in 1893. It was proclaimed the Grand Hotel of the West. Today, this hotel's in Milwaukee. It retains much of its original glory and is rumored to be haunted.
Ooh.
The founder's son, Charles, is said to descend the grand staircase and stroll through the opulent lobby with its crystal chandeliers hanging from high vaulted ceilings. Guests and staff of the hotel report encountering the portly, well-dressed gentleman along the minstrel's gallery above the ballroom or sometimes on the ninth floor storage area. So we're going to call the Feister Hotel, the Grand Hotel of the West, and ask them if they've seen the ghost of the founder's son, Charles Feister.
Now, I understand there's a hotel in the South where every day at like 10 o'clock, the ducks will come walking in, and then the ducks will take the elevator.
Really?
And these guys got ghosts, though.
What hotel is that?
And then at 4 p.m., the ducks take the elevator back down, and they go through the hotel lobby, and they go sit in the fountain in the front yard. Those are ducks. Those aren't ghosts.
Yeah.
So this is the Grand Feister Hotel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Right? And supposedly the son of the founder is walking around there. They said he's portly. Do you really need to describe a guy from Milwaukee as portly?
Aren't they all?
Isn't that redundant? That's just like saying a guy from Cleveland has bad breath.
You know, they don't have fat people in San Francisco because San Francisco's full of hills and you got to walk everywhere.
When you get tired of walking around San Francisco, you can just lean against it.
Yeah, you can. You're right. Or you can just take one of those Rice-A-Roni little things and go ride the little Rice-A-Roni streetcar.
Is it the Feister or the Feister?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
We're calling the Feister Hotel in Milwaukee, which is rumored to be haunted.
Good evening. Thank you for calling. This is Charles
Hotel.
This
Hi.
Call.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Hey, my name is Chris. I'm calling you from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm here with my friend Rob. And it's Halloween, right? And we had heard that your hotel, also called the Grand Hotel of the West, is haunted by the son of the original owner, Charles Feister. Or Charles is the name of the son of Guido Feister, who started the hotel. Is this true?
Actually, I'm going to let you speak with our concierge. One moment.
Oh, the concierge. They have a concierge in Milwaukee?
I guess so.
I wouldn't have
thought. Concierge, Rock speaking.
Hi, Rock. My name's Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we were calling because we had heard that...
Hold on. I got a question first.
You do?
You're a concierge?
Yes, sir.
And your name is Rock?
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, dude. When you guys have your concierge conventions and they say, hey, Rock, I bet you're the only one that turns their head.
That would be most likely, sir.
Hey, Rock, let's just get right to the bottom of this. Have you seen the ghost of Charles Feister?
No, sir, I haven't.
Is it Feister or Feister?
Feister.
Feister. Well, supposedly, I've heard that the Grand Hotel of the West, also known as the Feister Hotel, the son of the original owner, whose name was Guido Feister, his son Charles, is still in the hotel as a ghost. Some people see him in the ninth floor storage area, and some people see him in the minstrel gallery above the ballroom.
There is that rumor, but I've never seen it, sir.
But you've heard the rumor?
Well, we've certainly heard the rumor. I heard it just now from you.
Have you ever heard it from a guest or someone who works there, like somebody on the staff?
No, sir, I haven't.
Really? It's in a magazine. I got a magazine here, and there's an article in the magazine. I could read it to you, but I don't want to bore you.
I want to know what the weirdest request you've ever had to fulfill is. Now, your job, you get taxi cabs, you tell people what to do with the pants that they just spilled spaghetti sauce on, you help people find the local movie theater or the local opera company, you do that kind of stuff. And you probably, and you show people where the local Milwaukee dance establishments are. But what do you generally, what's the weird things you've done?
Oh, it's pretty static, sir. Mostly the things you just described.
Right. But say there's some professional athletes in town, or maybe
a rock band is staying there.
Like Blackfoot or somebody big is coming through town. And they wanted, what's some of the weird things they've wanted you to do?
Well, it's mostly pretty static things. Nothing extraordinary.
You're a good concierge because you're very tight-lipped.
If I ever stay at this hotel, Rock is going to be my man because I know he won't spill the beans on me.
Do the Reds and the Mets and the Cardinals stay there when they come play the Brewers?
We do have a lot of important visitors who stay here, but then, of course, they appreciate our discretion, as I'm sure you would when you come stay with us.
Right.
You're going to come stay with us someday soon?
Yeah, how much is a room?
$264 a night.
Okay. It's kind of expensive, but it's an historic hotel with the ghost of Charles Pfister walking around the ballroom.
It's actually a very good rate. This is a fine old hotel.
Yeah, that's not bad. Do you have the Evian for $5 a bottle in the room?
We do have bottled water available for guests in the room.
That's pretty nice. And you got maps of the city and everything?
Oh, yes, sir. We have that here.
Are they big rooms, or since it's an older hotel, are the rooms smaller?
The rooms are in different sizes, actually. We have the historic section of the hotel, which is 8 floors. Those rooms are Victorian in status, high ceilings, and so forth. Then we have the tower section, which was built in the 1960s.
Well, Rock of the Pfister Hotel, has anybody famous like Charles Dickens or Mark Twain or Dwight Eisenhower?
Someone dead that you don't have to worry about being discreet about, you know?
We have housed every president since McKinley.
Hmm.
We've also housed any number of extremely important individuals, Sarah Bernhardt, Elvis, so on and so forth.
Elvis, can you request the room Elvis stayed in?
No, sir. I don't think at this point we know which one it was.
Well, we can stay in each one until we figure one of them's it.
And we'll be happy to make a reservation for you with that in mind, sir.
Well, anyway, we really called about this ghost. You can't tell us much about the ghost of Charles Pfister?
No, sir, I can't help you with the ghost stories, even though it's Halloween.
It is Halloween. You know, if today was Easter, we wouldn't call you and ask you this question. You know that, don't you?
Well, that's oddly unreassuring, but thank you anyway.
All right, well, listen, Rock, you've been a pleasure, and we thank you for your time and for attempting to answer our questions to the best of your ability.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Good night.
So that's like, that's nicer than anything Cincinnati has.
By far.
$264 a night, and every president since McKinley has stayed there.
Wow.
Including, is it Sandra Bernhardt or Sarah Bernhardt?
It depends on if you're talking about the writer or the comedian.
Well, I think it was I don't think people are bragging about Sandra Bernhardt staying there.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. This is the annual Chris and Rob Halloween Spooktacular. And we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Planning on dying soon? I mean, come on, we're all going to die someday. But even if you're planning on living for many more decades, it's never too early to sock away a little extra cash each week or month so that when the inevitable day comes, your poor grieving relatives won't have to foot the bill. And there are so many choices. Which do you prefer? Burial? Cremation? Mausoleum? What's that? None of the above? None of the traditional methods of body disposal appeal to you? Well, you're in luck, my dying friend. The impending die-off of the boomer generation has made death a growth industry, and Chris and Rob are cashing in on the trend with new death traditions, offering these modern, professionally managed methods of shuffling off one's mortal coil. For the animal lover, you can be fed to any number of endangered carnivorous creatures, including the man-eating Venus flytrap, snakes, bald eagles, or even Dan Rather. Or maybe the Siegfried and Roy, where you'll be eaten by a large white tiger. You'll also like to consider the Jimmy Hoffa. Just like your family's concerns, you'll disappear. For you crazy pyromaniacs and out-of-control rednecks, we'll stuff you full of dynamite and blow you up. The Robert Shaw, where you'll be shoved into the jaws of a large mechanical shark. For you decorated veterans and patriotic Americans, New Death Traditions offers the Yankee Doodle Dandy. That's where you'll be wrapped in Old Glory and stuffed into the hull of a sunken battleship, and we'll lie about your passing for generations. And for the kinky and frugal, New Death Traditions provides a tax-deductible donation to the Necrophiliacs of America Association. Yes, for just a few bones a week, Your bones will be disposed of to your liking when you die by Chris and Rob's New Death Traditions. Abe, we'll go to Chairman.
Ortega. He says it's an old dead guy over on the island, and he walks like this. Oh, Larry.
He was telling the truth.
He was.
It's voodooism, and not very pleasant. You see, when a man dies and is buried, some voodoo priests seem to have the power to bring him back to life. Fact is, there's an old woman living on Lost Island who has a zombie son.
Two mates.
Oh, shut up.
They were two mates.
How horrible.
It's worse than horrible. Because a zombie has no will of its own. Every once in a while, you see him walking about with dead eyes, blindly following orders, not knowing what they do and not caring.
It's like husbands.
And if they shared a crypt together, that makes them tomb mates. Welcome back to the Chris and Rob annual Halloween Spooktacular. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
You know, Chris, I've been wondering, what do you call a dead chicken that likes to scare people?
A dead chicken that likes... Well, I don't know, Rob. What do you call a dead...
A poultrygeist.
You got any more of those?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of those. I was going to kind of space them out.
All right. Well, if you do, let me finish the... No, what is? All right. And then maybe we'll sound a little more like Hee-Haw, okay?
Why can't skeletons play music in church?
I don't know, Rob. Why can't skeletons play music in church?
Because they have no organs.
Well, this is the Halloween Spooktacular. If you'd like to call in and talk about ghosts or things that scare you in the night, things that just frighten you, we're here to talk about all your fears and paranoias. The phone number, if you'd like to call the Chris and Rob Spooktacular.
How old were you when you were no longer afraid of the dark?
about a month ago.
When you could sleep in the pitch blackness.
Maybe when I was... probably when I was went away to college and I started to enjoy the dark. Yeah, that's it. When I moved out of the house and went to school.
You were afraid of the dark until you were 18?
Yeah. 513-749-1444 is the phone number. What kind of question is that, right? What kind of question is that?
Obviously,
how old were you when you weren't scared of the dark anymore?
Obviously, it's an embarrassing one for you.
I never gave it a thought because I was never really scared of anything.
I never gave it a thought. I was never scared. I'm Mr. Forest Park Big Shot Tough Guy.
I'm
Mr. Suburban Cool Kick-Ass Boy.
I am, yeah. 513-749-1444. Get your calls in. It's also the fall memberthon time, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll be getting back to that. How old were you when you weren't scared of the dark anymore, Mr. Big Shot?
I'd say eight.
Eight?
Maybe seven.
Really?
Old enough to when my brother was no longer afraid of the dark, and he insisted that the room be completely dark.
Really?
Then you go through a period where you can't sleep if there's the least bit of light.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start drinking and you can sleep anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
Those are the phases of life.
Yeah, I think you're not afraid of dark anymore when you're old enough to drink alcohol.
When you're a baby, you don't give a damn. I don't think babies are scared of the dark, are they? We must teach children to be scared of the dark. Because you just leave a baby in a, you know, leave a baby in a cave. He doesn't know he's in a cave. He doesn't know if he's in a living room.
Of all the horror movies you've ever seen, what do you think is the most scary of all the horror movies?
The most scary of all the horror movies? Well, a lot of people really like the Blair Witch Project.
You think that one's scary?
A lot of people really like that one. A lot of people like this one called Ring.
The Ring?
Yeah, and there's the phone calls coming from inside the house. A lot of people like that one.
A lot of people
remember the Amityville Horror?
Uh-huh.
The wall started bleeding.
When they had all the flies and the bugs and everything.
And then like 2 years later, the people that wrote the book who owned the house said...
you remember Poltergeist when a girl thought she could go into the TV when it was on the Snow Channel?
It's cool. I heard Paul McCartney liked to take acid and put the TV on the Snow Channel.
Oh, yeah, and he and John would just sit there and watch it. And then they'd go record Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, right?
That's very scary.
Who do you think's the most scary horror movie actor who plays a bad guy?
Who plays a bad guy? Well, a lot of people like the classic dudes, Bela Lugosi, because Bela Lugosi has spawned more imitations than anybody else in the world. Because everybody says, hello, lame, welcome. It'd be good to be here. It's W-A-I-F.
Yeah, we were doing that at the beginning of the show tonight.
The Count. The Count from Sesame Street. I have three people in the radio studio. That's Bela Lugosi. Boris Karloff, he was the Frankenstein. Dude, he invented...
Yeah, I guess he did. He invented a long time before Chewbacca did.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to be first. And maybe somebody else would have invented, but they didn't. So you got to give credit where credit's due. And Boris went, first. Scared the heck out of people. And then, of course, the other dude, Lon Chaney, he did his own makeup as the Phantom of the Opera.
Right.
And
which was a lot better than the musical.
And then his son was the Wolfman. And he would turn into the Wolfman, and he'd come around and eat you. But as far as modern day people who can really scare the crap out of you, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger when he's trying to do a comedy.
Or when he's playing like Mr. Freeze in the Batman.
Right.
I will freeze you, Batman.
I cannot be your twin. You are but a little Jew boy, and I am big giant Russian.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's that one. He's funny then. Or I guess the dude's a Dago. But really, for all fire, just scary actors. Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. Some call him Jack Nicholson.
I thought Robert De Niro was pretty scary in the remake of Cape Fear, but Jack Nicholson can just be a freak when he wants to be.
It was even better. He wasn't better than as the original Cape Fear.
Did you think he was or was not?
Robert Mitchum in original Cape Fear had a... You can't tell him crazy. You could tell De Niro was crazy in that new Cape Fear, but in that old Cape Fear, Robert Mitchum just sitting in the cocktail lounge. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on?
And he's cool as hell. And then next thing you know, he's psycho crazy guy, whereas De Niro was just psycho crazy guy the whole time.
Right. Well, we're going to call Jack Nicholson and say trick or treat.
We'll ask him.
We'll see what he's handing out to the kiddies who come by for trick or treat.
We'll ask him which Cape Fear he enjoyed more.
Okay, we'll do that.
See if there's any more other obscure, modern, and old movies we can ask him about that no one else has seen. Ozzy is a manservant.
Ozzy is the guy who answers the phone at Jack's house. And in a moment, we're going to call Jack.
Although it's 7:45 there, so he may be giving out candy.
It's probably trick-or-treat time right now at the Nicholson household in California.
Hollywood.
It's in Hollywood, right? Is that in the Hollywood area code?
310.
Yeah.
Nicholson.
Hello, is Jack in, please?
Who's calling?
This is Chris.
And Rob.
Yeah.
From?
We sit next to him at the Lakers game.
Okay, hold on.
Thanks.
I don't know if the Lakers have started yet.
Well, we're excited about a big season.
Okay. But I think preseason started.
Yeah.
Or no, I think it started tonight. It started tonight. NBA started tonight.
I think it's
about the Lakers. And then we'll get into his movie.
Can I give him a message?
Well, we called. He told us to give us a call on Halloween. We wanted to say trick or treat and wish him a happy Halloween.
Okay.
Is Jack around? He's not able to come to the phone?
He's not able to come to the phone.
Is he handing out candy? I mean, do you guys have trick-or-treaters in your neighborhood?
We do, but nobody comes around here.
Why not? I would think if I was a trick-or-treater, I would want to go to Jack Nicholson's house.
No, nobody comes around here, man.
Are you sure?
Positive.
What kind of candy you guys got, just in case somebody does stand by?
Anyways, call another day.
Okay, thanks, Ozzy.
All right, later on, Ozzy.
We tried.
He told us to call another day, though.
Yes, and we will. We will. We will call another day.
He said call another day.
We got Jack once. For those who have not listened to the show for years and years
Jack
and years.
Once.
We got him once. He picked up the phone long enough to hang up on us, but we got him once. And he was there, or Ozzy wouldn't have said hold on.
I think he is there. I think he's like, I don't know.
I'm not talking to Chris and Rob. I don't know them from the Lakers games. We got to come up with a better excuse next time we call him.
Well, that's the only thing we know that he likes is the Laker games and overacting.
Right, and beating up people's windshields with a
golf club. He hasn't done that in 5-6 years. It might have been 10-12.
Do you think Ozzy went back to him and said, hey, these two crazy guys said happy trick-or-treat?
No, my guess is...
He probably went back to Jack and said, we got to get our number changed.
No, Jack is probably having his face exfoliated or Botox.
Jack's probably having a cocktail. He's probably drinking a Manhattan right now.
He's in L.A., dude, so he's having some sort of Botox or face tug thing going on, or else he's reading some kind of weirdo religion book, and Ozzy was afraid to disturb him in his sanctorum.
Okay, well, we tried Jack Nicholson for the umpteenth time. Okay, for those who... We're just going to get into this because we got nothing else to talk about.
Well, you know, a lot of people like to go to the movies and eat popcorn.
Uh-huh.
And that makes me wonder, do zombies eat popcorn with their fingers?
I don't know, Rob. Do zombies eat popcorn with their fingers?
No, they eat the fingers separately.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. All right, so we've called Jack 100 times. And we always talk to this guy, Ozzy, that guy who answers the phone.
His manservant.
Yeah, and we always say, is Jack there? And he always says, who is this? And we always say, Chris and Rob. And then he puts us on hold, and then he comes back and says, can I take a message? We always say that we sit next to Jack at the Lakers game. Of course, I've never been to a Lakers game. Have you?
No.
All right. So one time, and this was about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer ago.
Maybe 12.
Yeah. What year was it when Jack Nicholson won the Oscar for that movie with Helen Hunt? What was the movie called?
As Good As It Gets.
As Good As It Gets. And it was the day, the Oscar was on Monday night, and on Tuesday we called Jack. And Ozzy actually gave the phone to Jack that night, and Jack picks up the phone and he says, hello? And Rob and I said, hey, congratulations on winning an Oscar last night. And he said, thank you very much. And then we said, what was it like working with Helen Hunt? After all, she is a television actress after all.
1997.
Okay, and then he hung up on us.
Yeah, why did you insult Helen Hunt immediately?
Well, next time we call
she's
him...
She's lovely, and she's very talented. And
next time we call him, we're just going to keep congratulating him and complimenting him.
But
and
the thing is, they gave that Oscar to Jack because they thought this dude's not going to make any more good movies. He's done, and we're going to give him an Oscar now before he dies or becomes irrelevant. But now he still keeps making successful, popular movies. He made that. He made one with the Marty recently.
Right. That's called the Departed.
Martin, can you believe Martin Scorsese made a gangster movie?
I can't believe another one.
I cannot believe he made a gangster movie. Well, I wonder what inspired Martin Scorsese to branch out to gangsters. That's just crazy. Just absolutely crazy.
It is crazy. This is the Chris and Rob Halloween Spooktacular, 10 minutes until 11 on WAIF. And we're taking your phone calls at 513-749-1444. That's 513-749-1444. Feel free to call in and talk about all your Halloween festivities. If you have any ghost stories, if you've seen a ghost, if you know someone who's seen a ghost, if you've seen a Frankenstein or a werewolf or even a Dracula, you're welcome to give us a call here. If you know any vampires, if you are a vampire. In other words, let's light up these phone lines at 513-749-1444. I got a question for you.
You got a question? I got a question for you.
Would you rather hear Frankenstein meets the Beatles or the Dracula drag?
Why can't I hear both?
All right. You can hear both if you want. Well, first we'll do Dracula. Well, first we'll do Frankenstein meets the Beatles. How's that sound?
My guess is it's like $1.45.
Right.
And then this Dracula and drag is probably $2.20.
Something like, actually, Frankenstein meets the Beatles is $1.54.
Oh, thank you. How far was I off? 9 seconds.
Okay, there you go. There's Frankenstein meets the Beatles.
That was a good one. I really liked that one a lot. Did you? That was the incomparable Dickie Goodman.
Yes, it was.
Sounded like Dickie Goodman. He's got a wide vocal range.
It's on the Dickie Goodman CD, but it's credited to Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, that was probably Dickie Goodman and whoever produced the record.
But now we'll hear the Dracula drag by Dickie Goodman. This one's 203. Drag, 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 Dracula drag.
I'll be back.
Oh, I'll let you know the winner, but you'll have to wait, 'cause the race won't end till 68.
Drag, 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 drag.
pretty cool that Dracula dragged there, huh?
Listen.
I bet the entire castle on you, you fool, you. Come on, here comes the creature. Frankenstein is gaining.
Listen, Dickie. Kids love drag racing.
Okay, kids gotcha. Love Dracula.
And kids love Dracula. I need something. You got 45 minutes. I'll call you back.
Yeah. As I said
Dickie
earlier.
Dickie Goodman, the king of novelty. Love Dickie Goodman.
This is the Chris and Rob Halloween Spooktacular. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob. What happened to the Cool Ghoul? How can it be Halloween without the Cool Ghoul?
Man, he's been gone for a few years now.
He was the greatest.
I know he was. We got a couple of little things to do here, and then at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Dale Karmazik.
Kazmarek, some call
Dale Kazmarek. That's what I meant to say. Let's try this again. We got a couple of little things to do here, but at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Dale Kazmarek. Dale is the president of the Ghost Research Society. He's in upstate Illinois. I would suppose that's somewhere near Chicago. And Dale's going to talk to us about his ghost hunting exploits. So you'll want to stay tuned for that.
Chris, I was wondering, why do mummies have trouble keeping friends?
I don't know, Rob. Why do mummies have trouble keeping friends?
Well, they're too wrapped up in themselves. Get it wrapped up, Jim. Jim didn't get that one.
I got it.
I thought that was one of the better ones.
It is one of the better ones. All right, here's what we're going to do now. You know what it's time for now? Now do you know what time it's time for?
I think I do know what time it's for.
It's time for the favorite segment of all of our fans at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Should we give them time to get their cassette decks rolling?
No, it's time for Kung Fu Theater. Hold on, let's try this again. It's time for Kung Fu Theater.
WAIF is proud to present the following live radio drama.
Boy, are we.
Please, if you have a weak heart or high blood pressure, for your own sake, please remember the following is a drama. It is not real. Or is it? It's time once again, ladies and gentlemen, ghouls and goblins, witches and warlocks, for Chris and Rob's Kung Fu Theater. Tonight's episode, Trick or Treat Kicks with Feet. We join our heroes as they sit on their porch passing out candy to all the little neighborhood kiddies.
Gee, Rob, it sure is fun to pass out candy out here on the front porch. I mean, I can hear the wolves howling in the background and the wind is rustling through the trees. It's a downright spooky night, isn't it?
It sure is fun, little buddy. Hey, you remember when you were little and you thought all your candy was full of razors or dosed with drugs?
Oh, yeah, those were the days.
Now we are much wiser, and we know there's no way your candy's dosed with drugs.
That's right. Drugs are much too valuable to waste on a bunch of stupid little kids.
Hey, Chris, what was the best thing you ever got for Halloween?
A bicycle.
You got a bicycle for Halloween?
Yes, all summer long I prayed for a bike.
You know God doesn't work like that.
I figured out how God works. So I stole a bike and then asked for forgiveness.
Oh, Chris. You know, I've always been interested in the occult and the devil and stuff like that. But one thing confuses me.
What's that, Rob?
Why do witches fly around on brooms?
That's easy. Because vacuum cleaners are too heavy.
Hey, Chris. Look at this little Chinese boy.
Oh, he's really short.
I've never seen him before. Say, little boy, that's a neat costume. Who are you?
I'm a Wookiee.
Oh, a Wookiee? You mean like from Star Wars and stuff? But if you're a Wookiee from Star Wars, you should be all covered in hair. And you're only 3.5 feet tall.
And why do you have a baseball glove?
Because I'm a Wookiee. I play in the first year of Major League Baseball. My sources say these are popular costume in your culture.
Wow, what a mouth on this kid.
Yeah. His accent sounds like he's from the Ding Dong province of the state of Avon Calling in China.
The state of Avon Calling?
The state of Avon Calling.
Oh, okay. Avon Calling.
In China.
Wow. Say, isn't that where the evil and nefarious Shih Tzu class is from?
Ah, you got that right, you stupid Kit Kat eating round eye. Get out, boys!
Oh, no! Look behind the tree!
And suddenly, from behind the tree came the evil and nefarious Shih Tzu clan. Join us next time for another chilling episode of Chris and Rob's Kung Fu Theater. Hi-ya!
look out my window. Many sights to see.